Those are the figures that I got this morning at about 7:30. If you are right, then I will admit that I'm wrong, but those are.
We're still counting, but the question is probably, you were one of the early backers of Mondale, who is the biggest loser the Democrats have ever had in the history of politics.
Oh, what about George McGovern? You forgot him?
No, he wasn't. No, McGovern got more electoral votes than Mondale.
How many more?
Three.
Three more? Well, he got three more.
The biggest loser in the country. And you were one of them big backers.
Well, I think we ought to look at two things. We ought to look at number one. I understand the magnitude of three more electoral votes, as far as your perspective is concerned. I think that what we have to look at. What I'd like to maybe we can hold that question for about a week. Let's see what the popular vote was in the country, and then you might be right in a week, but you might be wrong. I'd like to see what the popular vote would be Which goof is that?
Backing the biggest loser in the history of the United States.
I'm a Democrat. We're going to back the Democratic nominee. Yes.
What should the Democratic Party do to get back in the mainstream America? You said earlier that it's
we're all going to get a little couple days rest and then start sitting down and talking to leadership around the state and around this county, and talk to people as to how we can bring some of the traditional Democratic voters in the Northwest side and the Southwest side who abandoned the Democratic Party as far as the national ticket is concerned, but all came back to us for Paul Simon for the most part and for the county ticket. And my ideas alone are not going to prevail or may not be exactly right, but I think there'll be a consensus, and we'll talk about that at another time.
Bottom line, are the parties too liberal for some parts of the city?
I don't know if that's the. I think a party will always be too liberal or too conservative for someone someplace. So what you lose one place, you'll pick up at another. I think that's one of the things that'll have to be considered, but there are many others. Yes, sir. We'll get everybody. Yes.
Would any Democratic candidate have lost to Reagan the way Walter Mondale was it just destined to be that way?
Well, I think people felt that the economy was in relatively good shape compared to what it was 4 years ago, and that's still, aside from war years, that's still the most basic influence on an election.
So you have any disagreement?
There are a lot of others, which, as I say, that'll be part and parcel of what we do in a couple of weeks.
You have that happen with anybody?
May not. It may have been just as bad for anybody else. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Suggestions that the impact of this election is pretty broad, that it represents some fundamental shifts in party allegiance in this country. That we're entering an era where the Republican Party is going to be dominant on a national level.
Well, downstate, well, they'll be dominant for the next 4 years. I don't know about 1988. Downstate, you've seen for the first time traditional conservative Republicans in the rural areas voting for Paul Simon, hitting Reagan, sliding over, voting for Paul Simon, and preserving many Democratic seats both in the Senate and the House in Springfield, as well as congressmen in Washington. So I think it is a new look to the Democratic vote when we break it down.
What does that tell you, Eddie, when they desert the president and support everybody else?
Well, it tells me they've been doing the same thing for the last 20 years.
Is your presidential candidate way off base?
I think the Democratic National Party has to give off a different perception to Democratic voters if we're going to get them back for the national elections. They came back to us here because they know what we stand for here. I don't think people really know what the Democratic National Party stands for. I think a lot of this has to do with what happened in 72 as well. And I think we're still feeling repercussions from 72.
Follow up, please. Yes, what perception, incorrect perception, is the National Party giving?
Well, I have my own personal observations, which I'm going to reserve right now. We are going to go out and talk to leadership throughout this state, and we are also going to go out and talk to the people, and we are also going to take our message back to the party, but I'm not going to start giving a concise, precise reason. Now, I have a lot of thoughts about it. Most, I'm sure, will be right, and some may not be right, but this is premature for me now. Yes, sir.
Farmer Verdoliak, on the issue of realignment, do you
if in fact Democrats are becoming more conservative and voted for Reagan because they thought Mondale maybe was too liberal, how do you rationalize those same Democrats coming back and voting for Simon, who was perceived as a liberal Democrat?
Well, I don't think that was the perception that Paul Simon gave off. I think the perception that happened in that Senate race was that they didn't know exactly what Chuck Percy was for sure, and they knew that Paul Simon had been somewhat of a constant and was a reasonable man. Let me go back to 1952 when...
Yet they both supported a tax increase.
Let me go back to 19... And wait till you see what comes out of the Reagan White House. Let me go back to 1952, an era when some of the political reporters began, or even before you. let's go back to Illinois in... let's go back to Illinois, 1952, Dwight D. Eisenhower, 1956, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Democrats were able to achieve major offices in the state and in the county. People went over and hit Dwight D. Eisenhower and went back, came back home for the rest of the ticket, I think, and he was a very popular president. And I don't think there's anybody in this room here that can give me three, make it two, and if you want, make it one major accomplishment during his tenure in office. And people liked him. After I got elected ward committeeman, and this is just an aside, my father, who is now deceased, one evening we were talking, and he looked around, and he said, I've got to tell you, he said, I voted for Eisenhower twice. And he was a lifelong FDR Democrat.
By the way,
yes.
If you confide in us now, who did you vote for, Reagan or Mondale?
We are
going to
tell your kids
who
you voted for.
I know who I voted for. I voted Punch 10, which was very successful for us, city and township. And I voted yes on all the retention judges. And I certainly know how my two sons in college voted because I had them vote absentee.
You told Basil Talbot, you said that you supported the Democratic nominee. That is after he became the Democratic nominee. But you worked very hard to engineer Walter Mondale's early endorsement so he could become the Democratic nominee. George Dunn did the same thing for Ted Kennedy, and he's been dumped as chairman. What does that say about?
I don't think the analogy the analogy as to who did what is and as far as change in leadership of the Cook County Democratic Party, that had no bearing. We all know what occurred there and why decisions were made and why there was a change in leadership, and it wasn't based upon any national election. It was based more upon a local election. Let me say this to you. We worked hard for Walter Mondale, and proudly so, in October of last year. Leadership in our county party, many of the gentlemen came, and you know the story, came to see me and asked if we could move out in front once for a candidate rather than following a runaway locomotive after it left the station. We worked hard for him. We worked for him in the primary. He won the primary. He was the nominee only after the convention. He was our choice for president, and he did not win. I am not in any way, shape, or form going to tell anybody that I was not proud to be associated with Walter Mondale, was not proud of the stand that we took, and did not work as hard as I possibly could for him.
Well, what about your judgment of the leadership that urged you to endorse Walter Mondale, who turned out to be, as Basil said, one of the biggest losers?
Then apparently my judgment was, and the judgment of other leaders, was wrong as far as the national ticket is concerned, but was correct as far as the local ticket is concerned.
Governor Thompson had said last night that because of the election results, part of it, the fact that Reagan did so well in certain areas of Chicago, and he did so well statewide, that it offers the opportunity, at least the opportunity, for the Republicans to come to Chicago and perhaps put forth some...
There's always that opportunity. We always welcome them here. It appears that Walter Mondale carried Chicago by approximately 330,000 votes. I noticed that Governor Thompson made that speech prior to knowing what happened in the Percy Simon one, and I haven't seen him make any speeches since then.
Alderman, do you agree
because I would not consider this a victory for the Republican Party in Illinois or Cook County or the city of Chicago to claim credit for electing Ronald Reagan in a landslide victory in this country and losing Chuck Percy and being demolished in the county ticket. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's the prospect of the second right Reagan term in the White House? 4 years from now, what are people going to be saying?
I don't know what they're going to be saying. I think what they're going to be saying right now, not 4 years from now, I think before this year is out, they're going to be saying apparently there's been a change of heart concerning his not raising taxes in one way, shape, or form or another to get the deficit under control. I think that is going to be an almost immediate thing that you're going to see forthcoming. And after that, they'll also be talking about the very same problems we had the day before the election, we're going to have the day after the election. If the economy does not continue to improve or become stagnant or recedes, then I think you're going to see people, when the pocketbook issue hits them, take some strong positions.
Alderman,
right here.
Do you agree with your colleague Ed Burke that the National Party is out of step because it is pandering, as he put it, to minorities in this country and ignoring the white middle class voters?
I think that the Democratic National Party has a lot of problems. I think saying and isolating one single statement such as that is not definitely a reason, or not the only reason. I think the perception that we're giving off is bad. I think that you cannot appeal to groups that don't add up to 51% in any election and expect to win.
Alderman,
yes,
do you really think that the ticket could have done better in Chicago had mayoral allies accepted your punch 10 concept?
Well, they did, because vote straight meant punch 10. That was the agreement.
Alderman.
Yes, yes, Mr. Talbot.
I was wondering now that pointed out there were 14 wards that went for Reagan, and they were all the wards in which your aldermen are like that you represent. Why don't you follow Ronald Reagan's historical mandate and become a Republican, since you represent wards that are mostly Republican, 14?
Well, I think
Reagan turned from Democrat to Republican.
Yeah, well, he had that.
Why don't you do that?
Well, he had that unique characteristic. And I know some people can turn from the Sun-Times to the Tribune with the snap of the fingers as well. However, I don't happen to be that kind of person, and I don't run away from the people that I'm with or the party that I'm with just because you happen to get it knocked in the head on a given occasion. And this was, as far as the national election, National Democratic Party, was not a victory. I'll agree to you. But you don't change parties like you change your shirt, and I don't do that. Yes, sir.
Are you in tune with your wards there out there than yourself?
Well, if the city of Chicago, Mondale left the city of Chicago with 330,000 plus votes, I think I'm in tune. Let me say this to you. Am I in tune in March when those very same wards all voted for Mondale over Hart and Jackson, and now they have the right 7 months later to make a determination when a new face comes, or not a new face, when another candidate comes into the race, the incumbent president of the United States, to make their choice? You mean I was right in March and wrong in November? No, I pick a party, I stand by the person, I worked as hard as I could for him, and I think most people in our party did, and that's my story.
Alderman,
yes.
How important was this election to you and your position in the party, given the problems you had with Stevenson and with Burns? Did you need to prove yourself through
with it? We proved ourselves with Stevenson. We left Cook County with more votes for Stevenson, 311,000, than Paul Simon left Cook County with this time. Paul Simon had the ability and the efforts of Mike Madigan and others to do very well, and he's from downstate, to do very well. Had Stevenson done anything close to that, he would have been governor of the state of Illinois. That was a win. That was a win in 82, as far as Cook County is concerned. I'm not the state chairman. I'm the county chairman. And I feel very good about that election. That was a super election for us. This election, we had a lot of problems. You had the retention judges. You had the election judges. You had the cloud of Graylord hanging over us. We thought that we were going to have some very serious problems there. The voters accepted the positions of both parties, Democratic and Republican. Dan Webb, Neil Hardigan, and everyone else who said that this was these people should not suffer for what stigma some others may put on the judicial system, and the voters support us. We came out of Cook County in a Reagan landslide, getting 40% more votes for Paul Simon and every other Democratic candidate in the township, which has never been done before.
And how important was that? Did you feel your reputation somewhere
Listen,
down the line?
Listen, it was a great day. It was a great day for us yesterday. Let's put it this way. The only thing that could have been better is had we won the state of Illinois for Ronald Reagan. That was not meant to be. The people spoke, people told us, that was not meant to be. Everything else we won, across the board.
Alderman,
yes, sir. It would have been better had we won the state for Walter Mondale. I stand corrected. Thank you very much. That'll go in the book, too.
Alderman, you appear to have worse problems yesterday on the northwest side as opposed to the southwest side. You lost the state senator up there. Those are the wards that Percy carried for the most part. How come?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why we have to start to reevaluate what is going on as far as the Democratic Party nationally is concerned.
Those are two similar areas. Why would you do much worse in one as opposed to the other?
What two similar areas?
Northwest side and southwest side.
Because those people have rejected the Democratic National Party and its party philosophy and its party platform.
You did much worse on the northwest side than you did on the southwest side. How come?
Well, I think I'll have to sit down with individual committeemen and make that determination. We know the area, and you know the history of the area, and you've seen over the years. This wasn't unique for that area.
No.
This was not unique, so you're not surprised. That's happened election after election, even before I was chairman. We're going to have to take a good, long, hard look at it.
Alderman, with Rich Daley's very strong showing on the county ticket in the face of the Reagan landslide, is he poised now to run against the mayor?
You'll have to ask Rich Daley. He's been an outstanding state's attorney. He did a great job. He ran a super campaign. And I think he carried the townships by a majority. And I thank you all very much.
And we weren't going to give up until we convinced you to take up.
Originally, it flowered. I've never gotten one to flower after.
When it Reagan's sweep of the state with Charles Percy's loss.
President Reagan kept his constituency from 1980 and may have added to it. Chuck Percy lost important parts of his constituency. That's the difference.
Why do you think he lost it, and what parts were there?
Well, I haven't seen the detailed vote totals, but he probably lost a great deal of the Jewish support he had in the past. He didn't run as well in the black communities as he has in the past, and he was running behind Reagan in the ethnic wards. And he didn't apparently run strong enough downstate.
Why do you think that is? Simon suggests that it's because he tried too hard to paint himself as a Reaganite and not as an independent thinker.
Well, I don't know. I think you'd really have to ask Senator Percy. I don't think I should at this short point try to analyze his race without seeing election returns. It would be interesting to compare how he ran 6 years ago and to compare him with how the president ran this time. I don't think it's because he ran his campaign in conjunction with President Reagan. I don't think that's really the answer.
Governor, as the campaign manager for the president, would you say that Illinois has sent a message or a mandate? Has the president received anything when, on the other hand, you still have Paul Simon winning? What message is Washington getting for them?
Well, I suppose they would say that Illinois continues its tradition as a state which sometimes sends mixed signals. Certainly the election of President Reagan and Paul Simon at the same time is curious because the two men are poles apart philosophically. But Illinois voters have done that before. I can remember the time when Paul Douglas and Everett Dirksen served in the Senate at the same time from Illinois. Illinois likes balance. For the last 8 years, we've had a Republican governor and a Democratic legislature, and that's never bothered folks in this state. So I'm not sure that we ought to make too much of that. I think it was probably more a personal victory for Paul Simon. He probably won in spite of his philosophical views.
What do you think hurt Percy?
He lost his normal constituency, or enough of them. It was a very close race. What was the winning margin? 60,000, something like that, out of millions cast, so a switch of 35,000 votes would have put it in Percy's column, and when the margin is that small, a number of things could have done it. But as I say, the fierce opposition from a number of Jewish groups concerned about his stands on Israel undoubtedly hurt him, and his failure to get across the message that his stands on Israel were really no different than Reagan's stands on Israel. And it didn't seem to hurt Reagan.
You've got to be walking just a little taller today, Governor, if that's possible. Number one, the Reagan victory, but number two, the Republicans picked up a few seats here and there, and that maybe has shown some signs of being an actual Republican machine out there, if you want to call it that.
Well, I think it was a good election for Republicans generally. I'm very proud of what we accomplished yesterday. We worked awful hard. We said we were going to go out and register Reagan voters. We actually did it. We said we would work in the precincts, and we actually did it. We said we would guard against ballot fraud, and we actually did it. We said we would carry the president, and we did it. We gained two seats in the state Senate, and we gained somewhere between 3 and 5 at the House. I'm not sure yet what the final figure is. So I was encouraged by yesterday's results, and one of the things that it told me was that if you pay attention to the mechanics and the details of politics, as Democrats have traditionally done for years, you can make inroads. And I think if we go back now and take President Reagan's substantial showing in the city of Chicago and attempt to build on that for the Republican Party, for local Republican candidates, and for legislative Republican candidates, we can make a difference 2 years from now and 4 years from now. I ended the election last night, not at the Hyatt and not at Oak Brook, but in a pizza parlor on Harlem Avenue with Representative Roger McAuliffe, and later at a banquet hall on Milwaukee Avenue with Senator Walter Dudich. And I think their stories are very instructive on what Republicans who pay attention to their constituency, pay attention to the issues of that constituency, and pay attention to precinct organization and precinct work can accomplish even against the Chicago machine. And if we build on organizations and personal campaigning like that, I think the Republican Party in this city, in this county, and in this state's got a good opportunity.
How about your
Governor Podolak says the local ticket was devastating for Republicans.
Oh, I don't think so. I really don't. But you can't build a strong county organization or even a state organization overnight. I expect that we'll take a month or so to analyze what it was that brought President Reagan victory in what was a very tough state, Illinois, and the kind of work that brought a new Republican senator from Chicago to the State House, and start to put those techniques to work on behalf of the ticket to be assembled in 1986.
Governor, what do you think of the fact that Ed Podolak today admitted that, as he sees it, the National Democratic Party is out of touch with its traditional constituents?
Well, I think he's right. I think he's right. Speaker Madigan said that too, and he's right. I think it's pretty clear that Podolak, looking at the election trends, tossed Mondale away and concentrated on Simon, where he thought he had a chance. That's what precinct captains all over the city were trying to sell on election day, Reagan Simon.
Is that an opening then for the Republican Party, and how can you capitalize on
it? Well, I think it is. I mean, if we find good, attractive candidates, people like McAuliffe and Dudich, for example, on the northwest side, and extend those efforts a little further into the city, and extend those efforts on the southwest side, and if we pay attention to precinct work. I walked a precinct with McAuliffe and Dudich on the Saturday before election, and we went door to door. And I know that in other precincts earlier in the election, those two men went door to door, and so did their workers. And if somebody wasn't home, they came back until somebody was home. Personal contact still counts for a lot, and there are a lot of places in Chicago who have never seen a Republican precinct captain or a candidate. And it's that kind of grassroots organization that we've got to build, and there's marvelous opportunity to do it.
How's this going to
the personal contacts by Simon downstate to London?
Well, I think so. I think probably the number one thing that carried Simon to victory was that his voting record never got in the way of his candidacy. And I don't know whether that's a credit to him or whether that was a failure of the Percy campaign or both, because it does seem inconsistent to be electing Reagan and Simon at the same time. In fact, President Reagan said, don't cancel your vote for me by voting for Simon. But Illinois voters are a pretty independent lot, and maybe that's what they decided they wanted down there in Washington.
Why do you think the person could not hold down the
people?
I don't know. I really need a chance to talk to downstate political leaders and to see what the difference in the margins were. This is the morning after, and I don't think anybody's had enough time to really analyze the Percy race in depth, especially when the winning margin was that small.
What about the negativity of the ads? The ads were so negative that Simon felt that they detracted attention from the real issues of the campaign. Do you think if there had been more time spent by Percy on the issues and by Simon on the issues that the outcome could have been different?
Probably not. I think their ads probably canceled each other.
Governor, you said the Republican Party has to find credible candidates for upcoming races. What about the mayor's race in 2 years? Give us some names.
Oh, it's too early to give you some names for the mayor's race.
But do you see the Reagan win yesterday and successes in some of the local races in Chicago as signs that it's not impossible?
It's not impossible for a Republican to be elected mayor of Chicago. Not impossible at all. A Republican came very close in 1983. Depends on what the circumstances are.
Is it impossible in 87? Too soon to expect?
Can't tell.
Is it probable?
I have no idea.
Do you see the National Republican Party being more willing to pump financial support into the campaigns on this level?
Well, I think we ought to quit worrying about the National Republican Party and their money and raise our own money here in Illinois, Cook County, and Chicago. We're capable of doing that. Well, we're capable of doing that if we have the right kind of candidates and if people who contribute to races see the results that their contributions brought them this time. For example, we raised about $135,000 just out of the Chicago and a little bit from the downstate business community for the vote fraud efforts that Ty Fainer headed. That's a lot of money to be raised in a short time for a new purpose. People who contributed to that effort saw a clean election. I think they will be encouraged to make that an ongoing effort. We raised quite a bit of money in a project called Victory 84 to supplement the state party's effort for President Reagan and all the Republican candidates. I think people who contributed to that saw some use out of their money. I think the people who contributed to the House Republican Campaign Committee saw a gain in seats there. People who contributed to the Senate Campaign Committee saw a gain of 2 seats there. I think you can raise money in Chicago and in Cook County and in Illinois for Republican candidates if you can show that the people who contribute are getting the money's worth.
If the Republican Party is getting so much stronger on the local level, how do you explain Breezak?
Well, I didn't say it had gotten there yet, and I didn't say we were going to carry Cook County overnight. It's a gradual step, and I look upon the election of a Senator Dudich and the reelection of a Roger McAuliffe and President Reagan showing in Chicago is encouraging signs, but you've got to build on those. The Democratic machine in Chicago wasn't built overnight.
Daley did well in the suburbs.
He did well in the suburbs, and the reason Daley did well in the suburbs was twofold, I think. There were no issues in the state's attorney's race that really called for the ouster of an incumbent state's attorney. No issue was really developed. And secondly, Dick Daley worked hard in the suburbs. From the moment he was elected 4 years ago, he went out in the suburbs. He spent a lot of time there. He paid attention to people in the suburbs, and that kind of campaigning pays off. As Daley did well in the suburbs, Reagan and some other Republicans did well in the city. And what that says is if you want people's vote, you go work for it.
You felt that the Illinois Committee for Honest Elections would be able to hold down vote fraud, and it appears that they did. Did that give you a lot more confidence about Charles Percy's chances, since you didn't think vote fraud would be as prominent as it had been in past elections?
Well, I think any time you hold down vote fraud in got put out of touch with the national mainstream of American politics by the kind of campaign that Mondale ran during the primary, which suggested that he was willing to spend billions of dollars in order to get the nomination. And people are not fools. They know somebody's going to have to pay that bill. And then when he campaigned in the general election on cutting the deficit, well, you can't keep billions of dollars worth of promises that you made to get the nomination and cut the deficit on just an $85 billion tax increase. So his economic program wasn't credible.
Governor, you mentioned Walter Dudich's victory, and you picked up two seats in the state Senate. The Democrats now only have a two-seat majority in that House. Do you feel that you can forge a working majority in the Senate on some of your key
Well, the first thing is I thank the Lord that Reagan carried Illinois, because I'd have been mighty embarrassed if he had won 48 states and lost two, Illinois and Minnesota. That wouldn't have looked so good, would it? But we did well in Illinois, and the reason that we did well was that we had a good candidate, Mr. Reagan, and we had the issues, and we worked awful hard on the fundamentals, and we had some good people working for us. Putting Greg Bays in the spot as executive director of the Reagan-Bush campaign was probably the smartest thing I did all year. And he worked his tail off, and he was a fine political director, probably the best in the 50 states. And I was really pleased with that. I just hope that when, and I know, when I go to Washington in January for the inauguration and see the president the next time, he'll not only remember his good friend Jim Thompson, the governor of Illinois, but he'll remember that Jim Thompson was his campaign manager and helped him carry Illinois. And if that redounds to the people of this state's benefit when we ask for something for Illinois, that's why I took it. I don't need anything personally from the president. I've never asked for anything personally
Would
from the president.
To an offer to join his cabinet?
There won't be any offer to join the cabinet, and I'm not interested in joining the cabinet.
You want to be governor again?
Well, I might.
What about your next race, even in Illinois, given how Percy fared and how close your own race for re-election was?
Right.
In a statewide race in Illinois, do you consider this race to be more bad news for you?
Oh, no. Quite the contrary. If I was making a decision today to run for governor again, I would be very much cheered by the results yesterday. First, you got to recall that in 1982 there was substantial vote fraud in the city of Chicago. I think that's probably beyond argument now, and may have made as much as 100,000 difference in the margin. But that aside, even that aside, I think my standing with the public today is as high as it's been in the last maybe 6 years. We've accomplished a lot in the last 8 years. We learned an awful a good number of political lessons from yesterday's election, both from Percy's race and from Reagan's race. If the economy continues to do well, if we continue to accomplish things, if economic development goes forward, transportation program goes forward, educational programs go forward, with Republican gains in the legislature, I wouldn't have any fears about an 86 race. In fact, I would in fact be encouraged by what happened yesterday. But as I say, I won't make that decision until next spring. There's no need to until next spring.
What are those lessons that you learned?
It's all in the precinct. You know.
That's for both elections, you think? Both the presidential and the Senate?
We learned, for example, how to register voters this time. After years of talking about it, we finally went out and did it. We learned those lessons, and we're not going to forget them. We learned how to do targeted mailings on issues that appealed to people. We're not going to forget those lessons. We learned how to really cover precincts that didn't have strong Republican precinct captains. We won't forget those lessons. We learned how to combat vote fraud. We won't forget those lessons. And we learned that when people respect you as a strong leader, they'll vote for you even if they disagree with you on a substantial number of issues. And we won't forget those lessons.
Will you get involved in any significant amount of gerrymandering, trying to carve out some new boundaries that might be a little more favorable to the Republicans?
And that's not possible for another 8 years. So we'll have to go with the districts as they are. But my view is that there are a fair number of winnable election districts in this state. Again, I'll have to look at the results. We just have them too fragmentary. But there are election districts that could be tipped to Republicans.
It's said because of the margin of the Reagan victory that the president has a mandate. Is there anything that concerns you about the ultra-conservative or conservative agenda that, that might be pushed in the second Reagan term?
No.
School prayer?
Well, I think school prayer in one form or another is supported by a large majority of the American people. So I don't look upon that as a position of the ultra-right or the far conservatives. If you look at public opinion polls, the people of this country consistently support the concept of school prayer. But you've got to remember something. The essential philosophical balance of the Senate and of the House in Washington has not been changed by this election, as far as I can tell. Extreme rightist position, that's a power possessed by most governors, and a sponsor of that in the Senate is Alan Dixon, so that's a pretty moderate position. I don't think you'll get it, because I think that Congress just loves that pork barrel, piling it on the bills that they know he has to sign, but I'm sure he'll push it. Well, I don't know what the widespread fear of his appointments to the Supreme Court is. He's only made one, Sandra Day O'Connor, and I don't think anybody can rationally claim that Sandra Day O'Connor is an extreme or right-wing conservative justice. I think she's a fine justice. If he appointed four or five more like Sandra Day O'Connor, most of the country would approve, I think.
Governor,
in fact, he might even have an opportunity to make her the Chief Justice.
But that appointment was made at a time when the news stories were full of talk about the gender gap. It was not an unusually, that was a...
Look at the other candidates who have been mentioned for Supreme Court positions under Reagan. There have been names floated in legal circles and in legal publication and even in general news articles, and none of them are scary people. For example, Robert Bork. Robert Bork is a former a law professor from Yale, a former Solicitor General of the United States, a former acting Attorney General of the United States. He was one of my bosses when I was United States Attorney. He now sits on the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, and though he may be conservative, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Reagan appointing conservative justices. Nothing more wrong with that than there was with Lyndon Johnson and Kennedy or whoever appointing liberal judges. The president's a conservative man. I think most people in the country would want conservative Supreme Court justices if you ask them. And if he appointed somebody with the credentials of a Robert Bork, I think it would be hailed by the legal community. Bork's a fine man. Now, if they're talking about people like that for the Supreme Court, what's wrong with it? Nothing at all.
Governor, were you disappointed you didn't take control of the state Senate? You came real close to calling this place.
Sure.
Did you expect to take control of the state Senate?
I thought we had a chance. I really was surprised that Bob Winchester lost. And I don't know the margin down there, but that really surprised me. I saw Bob the day before election, and he seemed pretty confident. And the polling data indicated that he was going to win, especially if Eve Johns was going to get any kind of significant third-party vote. I had done a lot for that district. He had done a lot for that district in ways that are appreciated in southern Illinois. And we'll just have to go over those figures and find out what happened to him. My guess is that the Senate Democrats, fearing a loss, knowing the race in Rockford was pretty tight, and figuring that we would win Dunn's seat and might have a chance at Dudich, really poured it on Winchester in the last week. That's what they tell me, that they really blitzed him with a lot of negative TV advertising. Now, what that contributed, I don't know. But we had a decent chance at capturing the Senate with 30 votes. If Ingrassia had won and Winchester had won, we'd have had it. We kind of, in the last week, suspected a Dudich win. The size of the Dudich win was remarkable. But as I say, two seats gained is two seats gained.
Do you think the coattails would be larger in the House where you only picked up three seats?
Well, I'm not sure I believe that's coattails. I think it's Reagan that gets them out to the polling places. But I think where we picked up in the House struck me as districts that are normally Republican that went Democratic last time for other reasons. The Doyle district, which we got back. I guess we got back the Marzucchi district. Those are normally Republican or swing Republican districts. And I don't think it's people in the traditional sense voting for a Republican candidate for the House because they're voting for Reagan. But Reagan's got enough Republicans out there.
Last night, Chuck Percy said that he thought that maybe this election was showing that the time for coattails has passed. Do you think that is the case now?
Sure. It's been passed for a long time. Look at my own first election. 1976, I win the governorship by 1,600,000 votes. In traditional times, I should have swept in a Republican legislature. And what I end up with? I ended up with a Democratic legislature, the first Republican governor in the history of the state to serve with a Democratic legislature. So coattails have been gone in this state at least since 1976 in traditional terms.
Is that a tribute to the voters?
Independent voters in Illinois, Illinois voters are very independent-minded, let's put it that way. And you've got to earn your vote in Illinois. And that's fine with me. I don't believe in people winning elections simply because of party labels, because that makes parties lazy after a while.
Governor?
Yeah, Basil.
I came in a little late, but I heard that you were talking about the one lesson that you learned from this precinct politics.
Yes.
Get people off the vote.
Yes.
Question for me, and I think where people get themselves in trouble, is whether once things become more serious, and you and she have made a commitment, if it goes that way, and let's say you get married, then will her sex appetite change? And I would guess that that's a concern of yours, too.
That's a big concern, yes.
Is that the concern?
I would have to say so, yeah. It would be one of the major concerns, yes.
Okay. Well, then there are all kinds of questions that you can ask her to become more closely acquainted with who she is sexually, who she is in terms of her values. Questions, if she were on the air, I would ask her things like, do you get turned on?
No.
I've
already asked her that.
Okay. We don't really know that in much detail, because very often women will, well, women and men for whom there is a value conflict will kind of squelch their sexual activity. And so there are other ways to ask that question. But it would seem to me that if that is a concern of yours, one of the appropriate things that the two of you can do so that it doesn't end up that you're beating her over the head saying, look it, honey, you really have to change your belief system if you want me, because that may be...
That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, for sure. You'll always end up in trouble when you do stuff like that. But you guys might want to go for some professional help and talk this out so that you can both reassure yourself. She can say to herself then, Paul is not attempting to beat me over the head. He is concerned about our future together. And you'll be able to say, this is a lady who functions normally, who just under these circumstances is not comfortable with her premarital sexual activity with me. Would you like a referral?
Yes, I would, very much so.
Great. It's a very interesting call. I am glad that you've called, because it is an issue that is raised by lots of people. Don't go away. Barbara will be with you in just a minute. Thanks again. Good night. Shannon, this is Phyllis Levy. Can I help you?
Yes, I hope so. Last week you were talking to a woman who said that she didn't experience orgasms, and you had explained that women were... or maybe experience orgasms and not know it.
Yes.
That was real interesting to me, but I know that I'm orgasmic, but I have a trouble climaxing with my boyfriend, and I know I'm orgasmic, so I'm wondering what's going on there.
Well, tell me a little bit more in detail, Shannon. When you say you have trouble, does that mean that you are not able to climax when he's in the same room with you?
Well, I mean, when we're having sex...